continuing on with our sermon series here at SBC for this summer. We've been calling it the 12. We've been looking at the 12 disciples of Jesus, Jesus' friends that he walked with, as we just heard about, and trying to see ourselves in these disciples as we learn about them and their personalities and what they did and didn't do, in the hopes that we see ourselves in there, right? Because that's really the goal of Scripture, is that we don't just learn God's story, but we see God's story in us. And I think that it is very true that we see ourselves in these disciples. Today we're going to look at first of all, let me say a big thank you to Pastor Tyler and Kelly for preaching the last few weeks. While I was on this spiritual retreat in Iona in Scotland, people have been asking me what that's like. And the way I kind of liken it in my set, have you ever heard of fat camp? You know, people go to, this was like spiritual fat camp for people like me. So go, learn some new muscles, get refreshed. It was absolutely fantastic. So I'm really thankful to go, but also thankful to be back. Our disciple today that we're going to look at is this guy named Nathanael. And we're going to talk about him. So in this gospel, he's named as Nathanael. Some of the other gospels, he's called Bartholomew. We'll talk about that in a little bit too. But what we're going to see in this text today, I think, is, I hope, is that we see Nathanael seeing Jesus in a fresh way, and we see Nathanael doing something that we can emulate in order for him to be seen by Jesus in a fresh way. And so I want you to listen along to God's word to you and to me, and this is from John chapter 1, starting at the 43rd verse. So follow along in your Bibles, or you can watch on the, follow along on the screen as well. This is God's word. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And then he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're a rock, and you're our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the perks of being the father of four daughters is that there's always a dance party going on. Those of you with sons, maybe not so much, but in my house, always a dance party. In fact, every day, I kid you not, in the summer, my Violet, she's 9, the second I come home from work, the first thing I see at the door is her, and this is what she says. She said, "Dad, come in here and sit down." And then she proceeds, and she says, "Watch me, watch me." And then she proceeds to practice whatever dance moves she has been perfecting all day long. They're normally about the same, right? You know, maybe there's a little jab here and there that's different. But actually, that's not what the important part is, right? The important part is she wants me to watch her, right? She wants me to see her. And when you're a parent, of course, that's all you want to do, to be seen by someone that you love is so, so important, to be seen. Conversely, the other side is also true. If you are not seen, if you are not seen, it is a place of fear and loneliness and isolation. I think the very saddest opening to any book I've ever read is the prologue to this classic Invisible Man. Maybe some of you read this back in your school days, Ralph Ellison, 1952, talking about what it was like and is like to be an African-American in the United States in the 20th century, early 20th century. I'm going to read this for us. I have it on the screen. It's kind of small, but I'm going to read this for us. This is the prologue. He says, "I am an invisible man. No, I'm not a spook like those who haunted Edgar Allan Poe, nor am I one of your Hollywood movie ectoplasms. I'm a man of substance, of flesh and bone, fiber and liquids, and I might even be said to possess a mind. I am invisible, understand, simply because people refuse to see me. Like the bodiless heads you see sometimes in circus sideshows, it is though I have been surrounded by mirrors of hard, distorting glass. When they approach me, they see only my surroundings, themselves, or figments of their imagination. Indeed, everything and anything except me." It's powerful, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's not just about African Americans a generation ago. It's about us. Isn't it interesting when we look out at the world today, how many, just been looking and thinking and hearing about the news, how many marches there are right now? There's always been marches. But think about the amount of marches that are going on. What are marches all about? They're about people standing up and saying, "I am not seen." Right? This election, Donald Trump winning, what is it? It's people standing up and saying, "I am not seen. You're not taking care of me. I need someone to see me." Right? We are surrounded by people, and including us, who from time to time say, I feel invisible. That you're marching right by me and you don't even know who I am. And when that happens, we fall into this place of fear and longing and hope, or a desire for hope, that we might know that someone sees us. Nathaniel, in our text today, this is a guy who's hardly seen, let's be honest. We read the 7 verses from John. Those are the only 7 verses about Nathaniel. Right, he's listed on some lists other places, but this is it. Like, this is a person that is kind of in the back shadows of the New Testament, for sure. In fact, I told you before, his name is Nathaniel here in John. Nathan is gift. El is God in Hebrew, gift of God. In the other Gospels, he's called Bartholomew. Bar means son of. Tholomus was a Hebrew name, very normal. So probably his first name was Nathaniel Bar. Tholomew, Nathaniel, son of Tholomew. But even the gospel writers can't get his name right, right? Some of them call him here, this over here, and some of them call him this over here. It's not like Peter, that he got this cool nickname from Jesus, and then that's what everybody called him. No. He's called, they can't even get that right. It's almost like he's not even seen. And even in the text today, we saw it at the very beginning. Jesus goes to Philip. It says he finds Philip. He finds Philip. But does he find Nathanael? No. Nathanael seems to be one of those guys. He's a fisherman, probably. He's from Bethsaida. But someone in the backdrop, someone that nobody sees. But friends, that's where the good news comes in. And this is so fantastic. When Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, I want you to see what Jesus does. He sees him. He sees him, and in seeing him, he transforms him. He sees him in 2 different ways. First, he sees his personality. I want to put up the text here. I love this. He says, "When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him of him, 'Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.'" This is fantastic. That word deceit in Greek is often translated as subtlety or guile, right? So it's someone who is not very sly. Right, is someone who's not going to sneak up on you. In other words, I think what Jesus is doing, he's kind of poking a little fun at him in a fun way. It's like, hey, there's no deceit in this guy. He's not sneaking up on anybody. Right, this is a bold guy. And we know that from Nathanael, because what did he say when Philip invited him? He said, "Jesus, Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth?" This is not the most subtle man. And Jesus notices that. He sees his personality, and he's sort of kind of laughing with him. Here is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. When you see somebody, you know their personality and you celebrate it. My family, I brought up my water bottle today. It has all these stickers that mean something to me. One of the stickers on my water bottle is this little snail. And the reason I have a snail on my water bottle is because my family says that's my spirit animal. I kind of move a little slow, think a little slow sometimes. But I have it on there because it's kind of endearing, right? They know me, right? They know me. They're kind of poking fun at me, but they know me, right? And so, because they see me. They see me. When you see someone, you appreciate and rejoice in the personality that they've been given. And that's one of the beautiful things about these disciples, is they're just so doggone different. And here's this man who is so blunt and kind of not sneaking up on anybody. And yet Jesus sees that, and he sees who he is, and he recognizes it, and he really celebrates it. And so what does Nathanael do? He asks a bold question, and he goes, let's go into the next part of the text. He says, well, where'd you get to know me? Right? And this is beautiful. What does Jesus say? I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, this is why this is so important. In Scripture, and we heard it a little bit in Micah 4, the fig tree is an image of God's people. It's an image of a place of communion with God. In other words, it was a place oftentimes where Jewish people would go and they would sit under their tree and, for lack of a better term, kind of do their quiet time. Right? This was their place where they communed with God. And so I think what Jesus is saying here is, Nathanael, I saw you under that fig tree. Right? I saw you spending time with my Father. You weren't out on the streets like the Pharisees showing everybody what you're doing. No. You're in your backyard. You're under your fig tree. And you're spending time with me, with my Father. And I saw that. And here's the beautiful part. I don't think Jesus was just saying that physically, like I saw you under the fig tree. But I think he was also making a spiritual point here. Right? Nathanael, you were reading the Scriptures. You're spending time with my Father. And guess what? You saw me and I saw you as you were studying those Scriptures. As you were doing that time with my Father and that time of meditation and discipline, I saw you there and you saw me. And I think that's why, let's go to the next slide. I think that's why Nathanael says, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. It's not that he feels like Jesus has some magical powers of knowing where he was at. No, it's like it all comes together. It's like, you're right. This Scripture that I'm studying, this God, that all of a sudden, you're the one that I see in the midst of it. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. This one we've been waiting and longing for all along, it's you. You see, when Nathanael was studying the Word, he was searching and seeing God. And in the process, God was searching and seeing him. And so he turns himself to Christ. And he becomes one of his followers. Because he knows that God in Christ has seen him. Two pieces of advice for us, or two questions for us. Here's the first one. Where is your fig tree? I think it's no coincidence that Jesus recognizes Nathanael for what he's doing. He's spending time in God's word. He's spending time in prayer for him under this fig tree. And because of that, it would behoove us then to do the same. If we want to see God, if we want to put ourselves in a place where we know that God sees us, we need to place ourselves under those proverbial fig trees as well, right? So what is that for you? For me, it's a little app on my phone right now. It's called Daily Prayer. It gives you some prayers, Old Testament, New Testament, Gospel. It has a chance for you to pray for the world, and it just sort of keeps me regulated. For some of you, it's Daily Audio Bible on your way to work. Maybe for some of you, literally, you have a chair that is your fig tree chair that you sit on and you do your study. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is for you. But friends, what we need to do and what we should do is find those places, our fig trees, where we can see God in Scripture and where God can see us. Where is that for you? If you have it, celebrate it. If you don't have it, find it. Find it. It almost doesn't matter what it is. It almost doesn't matter. But it's placing ourselves under those fig trees to hear and see God's word so that God might hear and see us as well. Where is your fig tree? Second of all, second question, who are you seeing with the eyes of Jesus? I know this isn't really about Philip. Kelly talked about Philip last week, but this is sort of a story about Philip too, because think about Philip. Nathanael didn't see Jesus on his own. Philip went and saw Nathanael, and by him going to see Nathanael, he convinced him and encouraged him to come and see Jesus and put this together. I think it's very clear Nathanael would have never gone to see Jesus. If there was a poster on the wall in Bethsaida, you know, live, Jesus of Nazareth, down the street, tonight, come. He's going to go, Nazareth, nothing. It'd be like someone saying, tonight, live, polka music, straight from Mexico. You should come. It's like people are, no, that's going to be horrible. It wasn't that convinced him, right? It was Nathanael seeing him. It was Philip seeing him. And Philip inviting him to see Jesus. Friends, the same is true for you and for me. Sunday school teachers, when you see those kids in Sunday school, when you treat them with respect and dignity, when you share with them the story of Jesus, guess what? You are seeing them, but you are allowing them to see Jesus as well. You are being Jesus' eyes to them. Youth leaders, when you text your kids, when you show up at their games, when you talk to them, when you encourage them, when you pray for them, it's not just you doing that. You are showing them that Jesus sees them as well. You're being the eyes of Jesus. Business people, when you are in your places of business and you're treating your colleagues with respect and dignity, when you're working for their betterment and their good, guess what? You are. They might not even know it, but they are seeing Jesus through you. Who is it that God has placed in your life that you need to see, that you are called to see, that you might invite them to see Jesus Christ in you and through you? In sub-Saharan Africa, there is this phrase that is used all over the place. It's a greeting. It's Sawubona. Sawubona. So if you've ever go to Swaziland on a mission trip with World Vision, with our church, or South Africa, or wherever else, it's Sawubona. And what it really means, I mean, it's colloquial, is hello. But here's what it really means. It means, I see you. I see you. And I don't just see you physically. I see you for the person that you are. I respect you. I give you dignity. It is so sad to me that we don't have a greeting like that in English. So we're going to have to borrow it from them. But friends, I think there is no better word to describe what your and my calling is. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to go out, like Philip, and see those around us, to see them, respect them, and invite them through our words, through our deeds, into the life of Jesus Christ. Friends, where is your fig tree this week? Who is it that God has called you to see? For friends, we remember that Christ has seen us. He sees us, and he gets us, and he knows us, and he invites us to come and follow him. And that is good news. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we're so grateful for this day. And thank you for this scripture. Thank you for Nathanael. Thank you that you called him, you knew him, and you invited him into your presence with him. And that you saw him through his study of the word, and he saw you. And because of that, his life and our lives are changed. And so may we be those people that pursue you in our times of quiet. May we pursue you as we see others with your eyes. And then may we go out and be a part of your change in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.